Wing and Paw, the reunited comrades, strolled off to the barn, chatting amiably, as if there had never been a crossword between them. Julian was last to enter the barn. He gave Matthias a broad wink.
Who knows, my friend? Maybe the sword does possess some magic. Personally, I think it's the warrior who wields it.
For the first time in many days, Matthias laughed heartily. He felt so good within himself. After all the action and mental strain, travel and grief, he felt suddenly reborn, larger than life and brimming with newfound self-confidence. Certainly there were great difficulties and hard tasks ahead of him. When the time came, he would handle them. For the present, he was satisfied with this feeling of immense happiness. Holding the sword lightly, he balanced its point against the earth and laughed freely. It was infectious. Logalog joined in, then one gorilla shrew, then another, and still yet more, until the whole regiment and their warrior mouse friend set the countryside ringing from river to woods to farm and field with the happy sounds of their honest joy. Chapter 10. The Clooney that emerged from the ragged tent in the meadow was far from being sick in the head. The members of the horde watched the way he strolled purposefully about. The old glint was back in his single eye. His orders were crisp and concise. Even the long tail had a fresh crack about it. The chief seemed sharper than he had been before. In the aftermath of the tunnel disaster, Clooney had called off the attack for a full day, withdrawing all his followers well back across the meadow. The warlord gave his horde time to recuperate from the fiasco. A whole day's leisure, with no recriminations and hardly any orders. The captains of Redwall wasted no time in making use of the temporary respite. Repairs were started upon the gatehouse door. Teams of woodland carpenters, abbey smiths and labourers, plus any creatures that felt the need to help, were lowered down to the road in large wickerwork baskets. Should the enemy in the meadow decide to make any sudden move, the workmen could be speedily hauled back up the ramparts. All that day the rope gangs were kept busy, sending down wood, spikes, cordage, tools, and repair materials. Clooney sat and watched them from the distance as he talked aloud to himself.
Good work, mice. Strengthen my gates. I wouldn't want to rule a fortress with broken doors.
Fangburn was passing. He overheard Clooney conversing with himself. Not sure whether the remarks were addressed to him, he stopped.
You feeling all right, Chief?
Never better,
Clooney replied. He pointed at the repair crews.
See that, Fangburn? Honest, industrious work. And what for, eh?
Fangburn hazarded a guess.
To keep us out, Chief?
No, to stop us getting in. Get some soldiers and light a fire down in the ditch. Make it a proper blaze, good and hot.
Fangburn knew better than to question the reason for his chief's order, no matter how strange it sounded.
A big fire. Right you are, Chief. I'll get him going right away.
Fangburn hurried off, aware that Clooney was watching him. Shortly after, there was a huge fire burning in the ditch. The horde gathered close by to see what Clooney was up to. The crackling flames gave off waves of heat, causing everyone to step back. Above the ditch, the air shimmered and danced. Clooney stood in the ditch, claws on hips. He cracked his tail.
Skornos, manage fair. Bring up those dormice prisoners.
The 20 dormice were dragged forward in a pitiable condition. They cowered on the ground in front of the warlord, half-starved and dull-eyed. Clooney pointed.
You, leader mouse. What's your name again?
Plumpen, sir.
Clooney grabbed Plumpen roughly, dragging him away from his fellow captives on the ground.
What are these other miserable creatures to you, Plumpen?
The Dormouse explained in a shaky voice.
My family, sir. My mother, father, brothers, sisters, and my wife and two little ones. Oh, please, sir, spare them, I beg you.
Clooney laughed cruelly. His eye was devoid of pity. He leaned close to Plumpen and whispered harshly.
What would you do to save them?
The Dormouse watched Clooney's eye rove lazily from his family to the blazing inferno.
Anything, anything you say. What do you want of me?
Clooney cracked his tail triumphantly, pulling Plumpen forward until their noses touched. The big rat's voice was as foul and evil as his breath.
Listen carefully. You are going to open the abbey door for me, my friend. If you fail, your precious little family will pay the penalty. Now, here is what you must do.
Constance hauled upon her rope. It was no hard task for a fully grown badger. On the other ropes there were creatures that could not compare with her for strength, but they hauled and pulled with an equally good will. Cornflower and Silent Sam kept busy, supplying cool drinks and sweat cloths. The repair work went ahead at a steady pace. No one noticed that there was an extra mouse labouring among the workers in the roadway, plumping. Clooney had supplied him with a habit taken from the body of one who had fallen slain from the ramparts. Plumpen had concealed himself in the ditch and travelled undercover until he was level with the gatehouse. At the appropriate moment, he slipped out with a plank upon his shoulder and joined the workforce. They toiled away industriously until Jess Squiddle, who was acting as overseer, decided that the work was completed, as indeed it was. The old gatehouse door looked as good as new. All the tools and spare timber were gathered up and the roadway was swept. Satisfied with a job well done, the work crews stacked up their materials and were hauled up to the ramparts in the large grain baskets. Plumpen sat between Brother Alf and Brother Rufus. Across the meadow, he could see Clooney, watching, always watching. Plumpen cursed the fate that had put him and his family in the hands of the rats. What a happy, friendly lot the Redwall creatures were. He was served afternoon tea sitting on the grass in the cloisters. The Dormouse felt the good food turn to ashes in his mouth at the thought of his betrayal of fellow mice. But there was no alternative if he wanted to save his family. After tea, he wandered off on the pretense of carrying out some fictitious task. When there was nobody about, he hid himself in the old gatehouse den, which had once been Methuselah's study. Locking the door, Plumpen lay down, lonely and miserable, to await nightfall. Inside Cavern Hall, the Father Abbot addressed a morale-boosting speech to his captains.
"Friends, it will avail Clooney little to put the Abbey under state of siege. As you know, Redwall is virtually self-supporting. All we require to sustain life and comfort is here within these walls. Therefore, I suggest we carry on as normally as possible. However, the walls must always be guarded. I leave it to you, my captains. Stay ever vigilant against Clooney and his horde. I know that with your counsel and good judgment, we will soon see the day when the enemy are forced to go elsewhere and leave Redwall in peace."
There was loud applause for the abbot's heartening words, but Constance was not convinced. She whispered her thoughts to Basil and Jess.
"Never. Clooney won't leave us alone until either we are dead or he is."
Basil Staghare nodded in agreement.
"I know, old scout, but the abbot's such a decent old buffer that he believes there's good in everyone, even Clooney, what?"
"And so do I. I believe Clooney will be good someday. Good and dead."
Gradually, the day drew to a close. Lights dimmed as Redwall prepared for a well-deserved night's rest. The meadowland and woods grew quiet and peaceful. On top of the walls, sentries leaned on the parapet, listening to the evening bird songs. Across the meadows, the enemy campfires burned low into the soft June night. Plumpen waited another hour, as Clooney had instructed. Then it was time to make his move. Stealing quietly out of the gatehouse study, the Dormouse headed north, staying well within the deep shadow of the wall. At the small north wall gate, Plumpen drew a scarlet cloth from his habit. Smearing the bolts with grease from the cloth, he silently worked them loose. Kilcony lay watching the gate from behind a sycamore in the woods. Near to every other entrance, one of Clooney's most trusted soldiers was concealed, awaiting the signal. It was the ferret who was rewarded by the sight of the scarlet cloth being shoved through the door jamb. He hurried away to tell Clooney. It was dead of night when Clooney's horde moved out of the meadow. Around the embers of each campfire, bundles of grass and twigs had been wrapped in blankets. To the unsuspecting sentries on the wall, the bundles looked like sleeping forms. They sensed nothing amiss. The horde circled northwards through the meadowlands, until Clooney judged they were far enough from Redwall to escape detection. He crossed the road at the head of his army. They filtered back through the leafy cover of nighttime mossflower towards the abbey. Now that his goal was in sight, Clooney used all the stealth of a stalking hunter. Waiting until the entire horde was in position. Each soldier, crouching quietly among the ferns and bushes, knew the penalty for making any sound that would betray their presence. Not death from the defenders, but death at the claws of their own chieftain. Clooney could wait. He gave it another half hour, until he could actually see some of the guards on top of the wall, nodding off at their posts. What was 30 minutes, after he had waited so long for this moment? With practiced skill, he slid from his hiding place and crossed to the wall door. One gentle push, and the small iron door swung slowly open on its greased hinges. Clooney stood in the doorway as his soldiers filed past him on their way to the Abbey building. There was little need to worry about the wall guards. Those who were awake would be watching the road of the enemy camp, their backs turned on the secret invaders. Plumpen stood by, anxiously watching the warlord. At least his family would be safe now. The Dormouse had faithfully carried out his part in the dreadful scheme. Clooney must surely keep to his word. He did not see the look that passed between Clooney and Fangburn. Fangburn swung the heavy club and brought it crashing down on the back of Plumpen's head from behind. The unlucky Dormouse crumpled to the ground without a sound. Clooney the Scourge bared his fangs, grinning wickedly into the dark. He had finally brought his horde into Redwall. Chapter 11. The last rays of the sinking sun streamed through the open barn doorway, lighting up formerly darkened corners. Matthias lay on the hay amid the remnants of an epic celebration feast. The guerrilla union of shrews in Mossflower had really outdone themselves laying out this spread. He picked up a truffle and tossed it away with a sigh of satisfaction, fearing he might burst if he forced another bite into his mouth. On one side of the young mouse, the gifts from Squire Julian Gingervere, Captain Snow and the shrews were piled high. On the other was his sword, reflecting the rays of the afternoon sun. The guerrilla shrew regiment had chosen to sleep off the effects of the party outside in the sun. They lay about the farmyard, too full even to argue. Logalog shuffled lazily in and flopped down beside his mouse friend.
Greetings, almighty warrior, saver of the shrews, slayer of poison teeth, he who speaks with cats, friend maker of owls, and united of...
Oh, shut up, you noisy little devil.
Matthias chuckled as he kicked Logalog off the hay into the dust.
Do you know much about birds? What about sparrows?
Matthias yawned.
Well, what about sparrows? I've had some dealings with them. What do you need to know?
Nothing really, but there's been one reported over at the edge of the woods. Of course, no one can understand a single word that the savage heathen is saying. She's screeching away back there, hopping and dancing about, working herself up into a right old tiswas, or so I've been told.
Matthias sprang up, grabbing his sword.
Come on, Logalog. I speak the sparrow language. We'd best get over there and find out what's upsetting her.
With a score of guerrilla shoes in their wake, the two companions set off for Mossflower on the double. Above the long grass in front of the woods, the sparrow warrior could be seen. She fluttered up and down, creating a raucous din. Logalog and the shrews were taken aback when Matthias ran ahead of them, shouting at the top of his voice.
Warbeak Sparrow! That are you, old worm warrior!
Joyfully, the two friends reunited. They rolled about in the grass like a pair of mad creatures, pounding each other on the back.
Matthias Mouse! Old worm friend! Big fat warrior now! How are you?
The shrews were completely baffled. They sat about scratching their heads at the strange behaviour of the sparrow and the mouse. Matthias chattered to Warbeak in the rapid sparrow tongue, telling of all that had happened since they last parted. Warbeak, for her part, told Matthias of her fortunes to date. Upon the death of King Bullsparrow, Warbeak had been crowned queen. Dunwing, her mother, had wished it to be so. The tribe was happy under the wise rule of its youngest ever queen. No more would sparrows have to live under the claw of an unpredictable maniac. After Warbeak had related her story, she became grave.
Matthias, Redwall have big trouble. We watch, see from roof. Ratworm make lot of plans. Mice brave warriors. All the time, fight back. Beat ratworms plenty. But Warbeak watch ratworm king. He bad worse than King Bull. Him make bad plan. Catch Abbey. Ratworm soon be inside Redwall. Matthias Mouse, come quick. Bring sword.
An icy claw of fear gripped Matthias' stomach. He sat down hard in the grass. Loggerlog shook his friend.
What's she saying, Matthias? You look as if you've seen the ghost of Poison Teeth. For goodness sake, what's going on?
It's my home. Redwall. Clearly the Scourge is about to capture it.
Loggerlog spoke urgently to the shrews.
Quick, get the regiment ready as fast as you can. We're off to the abbey at Redwall. Tell them to catch us up. I want no arguments or votes. Tell every shrew to be fully armed. We must march night and day if we are to save Matthias's friends.
Matthias picked up the sword of Martin.
By thunder, Loggerlog, you're right. I fought hard for this sword in order to save Redwall. Come on.
Shrewmars help you. How many warrior him got?
A full complement, about 500 shrews.
Warbeak spread her wings.
I bring all a tribe sparrow warrior. We come. Help.
Matthias shook Warbeak's claw warmly.
Thank you, Queen Warbeak, my friend. Now we must go. A strategy can be worked out on the way to the abbey. Let's hurry. There's no time to lose. It's do or die now.
The mouse, the shrew, and the sparrow plunged off into the green wooded world of Mossflower together. One thing Matthias was certain of, as he strode swiftly through the trees, it would be he and he alone who faced Clooney the Scourge at the bitter end.
Chapter 12.
The Father Abbot was awakened by a sword point at his throat. He was completely surrounded by snarling rats. Jess, Basil, Winifred and Formal all found themselves in similar situations. The iron claw of Clooney's discipline was strongly evident throughout the manoeuvre. Complete silence had been observed. Only those held captive were aware of the horde's presence. The main danger to the attackers was Constance. As always, she slept out upon the grass in the abbey grounds. More than 20 of rodents carrying a strong rope net between them had stolen up on the sleeping badger. They threw the net over Constance, fixing it into the ground at long stakes and bludgeoning her senseless before she was properly awake. Clooney watched the proceedings with grim satisfaction. Redwall was his. Small creatures, rubbing sleep from their eyes in confusion, were dragged out into the abbey grounds. Woodland infants wept fitfully as they clung to their parents. Bullying rats pushed and harried everyone out into the open, where they made them sit on the grass. Abbot Mortimer, in his homespun nightshirt, was kept to one side with his captains. Their paws were cruelly bound behind them. They stood in stolid silence, as sniggering rats referred to them as the ringleaders. Clooney the Scourge stood in Great Hall, surveying the marvellous tapestry. He did not need to steal scraps of it now. It belonged solely to him. Fangbane, Frogblood, Scumnose, Mangefair, and Kilcony came marching smartly up. They saluted him.
The abbey's yours now, Chief.
We've got all hands outside, Chief.
Any further orders, Chief?
Clooney ran his tail reflectively through his long claws.
Yes. Bring the abbot's chair out of the place they call Cavern Hall. Have it set up for me on a platform by the gatehouse. I've got some judgments to deliver.
The horde captain swaggered off jauntily. Clooney addressed the picture of Martin upon the tapestry.
Well, warrior mouse, what do you think of your brave Redwall defenders now? Ha! Not much, I imagine. I'm going to let you stay up there and witness some drastic changes.
Clooney jabbed a claw at Martin, his voice laden with menace.
No more will you haunt my dreams. A voice inside me spoke as I waited in the woods tonight outside your precious red wall. It said that before sunset this day, I would be free of my nightmares forever. What do you think of that?
Martin continued to smile fearlessly down upon Clooney. The warlord cracked his tail, shattering the silence of Great Hall. He seemed driven to great anger by the apparent unconcern of the warrior.
Henceforth, this place shall be known as Hall of the Scourge. No more will the abbey be known as Redwall. It shall be called Clooney's Castle. Everything will change.
The warlord went off into a berserk rage, stamping about the hall, slashing and whipping at the shadows with his tail as he invented new titles, screaming them out as the echoes bounced back off the walls at him.
The Great Rodent Wall! The Lake of Drowning! The Field of Dead Mice! Ferret's Gate! Stout Orchard! Weasel Bell!
Outside upon the grass, the woodland captives heard Clooney's crazed laughter ringing from the abbey. They shivered at the thought of their inevitable fate. He was making them wait, drawing out the tension, revelling in their misery, savouring his evil victory. Abbot Mortimer looked up at the sky.
It will soon be dawn.
A rat pushed him heavily to the ground.
Shut your doddering mouth, old one!
Jess Squirrel knocked the rat flat with both her feet. She sank her teeth into the bully's back. A pack of rats leaped upon Jess. They dragged her off their screaming companion and beat at her with their spear butts and cutlass handles.
Leave her alone, you cowards!
Mr. Squirrel shouted as he struggled to hold back Silent Sam.
You're very brave in a gang, but you wouldn't face my Jess if her paws were free, you scum! Not if there were twice as many of you!
Father Abbott struggled to his knees.
Please, I beg of you, do not fight on my account. They have the advantage. You'll only get hurt.
Oy, sensible words, Your Honour,
Kilcony said as he made way for the abbot's chair to be carried through.
Take my tip and sit quiet until the chief comes out. Don't make it harder on yourselves than it's going to be. That's what my old mother always used to say.
Good grief! Shouldn't think a blackguard like you ever had a mother.
Kilcony cackled and slapped his thigh.
Well, now, aren't you the big comical rabbit? Let me tell you, my fine gentleman bucko, you won't be half so funny when the scourge is done with you. No, sir.
The prisoners slumped dejectedly upon the abbey grass, awaiting the break of dawn and the coming of Clooney the Scourge. Chapter 13. Warbeak and Logalog had to force Matthias to take a rest. The young mouse had set a scorching pace marching through the night from the far borders of Mossflower Wood. The gorilla shrew had trouble keeping up. He was smaller than Matthias and did not have the advantage of flight like the sparrow. Always several yards behind, he panted for breath as he stumbled gamely on. Even Warbeak was beginning to feel the effects of prolonged low night-time fluttering. Through the woodlands, around trees, over bushes, it was not the same as a clear, clean flight through the upper atmosphere. Only Matthias kept going at a dogged, headlong dash. He stopped for nothing. The heavy sword hanging from his shoulders by a length of cord thumped against him as he urged his legs forward. The breath rose ragged in his throat. His companions realized the urgency of the situation, but they saw that if Matthias continued to drive himself at this rate, he would soon collapse. The matter was solved when Matthias tripped upon a tree root and went sprawling flat. His two friends pinned him down and held on while they tried to talk sense to him. Finally convinced, Matthias sat among the ferns with his allies. It was not wasted time. They held a council of war.
You carry on to Redwall, Matthias. I will wait here for my band. We'll force march most of the way, don't worry. The gorilla shoes won't be far behind you. We'll make good time in this cool night air.
The young mouse was assailed by gnawing doubts.
That's all very well, but how are we going to scale the wall into the abbey grounds? If Clooney has captured Redwall, he's bound to have sentries posted upon the ramparts.
What for Redwall want sentry?
Warbeak shrugged her wings.
Him catch abbey, not know we come to catch back.
Warbeak, you're right, but it still doesn't solve the problem of how we get in.
The young sparrow queen winked cheekily.
It's easy. Me get sparrows to open little windows in wall. East, south, north. You see, they do good. Warbeak, go now. See friend Matthias Mouse at Redwall.
The sparrow queen shot off into the air like an arrow from a bow. Matthias arose to continue his journey. Logalog stayed behind and waited for his warriors to catch up. Beside the north wall gate, plump and stirred. He groaned and rolled over. There was a bad wound on the back of his head, but he was still very much alive. The first sight that greeted the Dormouse's hazy vision was three sparrows standing over him. They were Dunwing, Battlehawk, and Windplume. Silently, they slid Plumpen out of the open door into the woods. Dunwing gave orders to the two sparrow warriors.
Take red rag and grease,
Bring many sparrow. Fly quiet. Grease other little worm doors. Wait till Queen Warbeak come. No let ratworm see warriors. Go now.
Throughout the night hours, many sparrows worked secretly on the locks, bolts and hinges of the small wall gates. Somewhere in Mossflower, Matthias was still pressing on to Redwall. Logalog and the regiment of guerrilla shrews were hot on his trail. 1,000 sparrow warriors perched in the branches of trees all around the abbey, waiting. Chapter 14. The light of dawn began to appear in the sky. The sun's rays tinged the sandstone walls to a dull pink and clouded red. Dew was upon the late rose. Despite the blessing of a glorious summer day, the whole of Mossflower was doom-laden with an awful tension that threatened to burst upon the captives seated on the grass. Horde captains came stamping out of the abbey. They prodded the prisoners with cutlass points and slapped out with flat blades at the helpless defenders.
Come on, you lot, on your feet.
Stand up straight, you moist.
Step aside there. Make way for Clooney the Scourge.
Reluctantly, the Redwall contingent complied. They turned. All eyes were on the door of Great Hall. The silence was broken as the door slammed back upon its hinges. Clooney strode out. Behind him, bearing the Horde standard and a lighted torch, came Fangbairn and Kilcony. The victorious Horde soldiers cheered wildly. Clooney was the picture of barbaric power, geared for war from his poisoned tail tip to the frightening battle helmet. He looked every inch the conqueror. Regally, he swept through the ranks of both sides, looking neither to right nor left. Mounting the dais, which had been set up for his use, he swirled the sinister cloak about him and sat down in the abbot's chair. All that could be heard was the crackle of the torch and the unhappy whimper of one of the infant captives. He sat impassively, claws gripping the chair arms, visor lowered.